Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
Madam Speaker. Madam Vice President.
You want to hang out with us? Get your vaccine. Vaccine.
And so I went to Human Resources.
There are some things I just can't tell you on air.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
A woman's problem, if you will.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
And I'm Chris Burns.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast. We're C-SPAN, use the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. So as you all have noticed, we've been talking a lot about women in Texas in recent weeks. Today, we're going to talk about one particular woman from Texas, and that is Beyoncé Knowles Carter.
How did I get so lucky to get on the
Beyoncé show? I know. Thrilling. So Millie warned me about this morning. She was like, you're going to get more hate than during the Israeli-Palestinian conflict if you come for the Beehive.
I know. She's like, I'm not.
We're going to discuss it.
The Beehive is, once this story is quick, but insane. I was working at a restaurant and I would do like the outside menu board. And I wrote something like, Beyonce wrote Countdown about our happy hour or something like that. And this guy came in and was like, who the fuck made that sign? I know Beyonce personally, and that is not what the song is about. It is actually about her daughter. And he like lost his mind and then left and came back with a bucket of water and threw it on the sign.
Oh, wow.
It's a charged thing.
I was like, listen, I love the passion. Clean the board, girl.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Like, we all know Swifties are bad and Nicki and the Barbs are crazy.
The Barbs.
And the Azalea Banks fans are really something else.
Well, I mean, I screenshotted that exchange of like, man, did you see that thing I posted where it was like, we don't give Azalea, like Azalea Banks is more like vilified than some male abusers. It is true. And then somebody wrote, she boiled her cat, period. And then someone else replied and was like, the cat was dead already, one. And
oh,
two,
man.
If you're not vegan, you should be shutting up because everyone's a hypocrite.
That's fucking crazy.
Oh, man. Well, she is getting some criticism. I mean, not for boiling a cat. She didn't do that.
Beyonce did not boil a cat.
To clarify, Beyonce did not boil a cat. What she did do is she wore a big ass diamond that had some problematic origins, and people wanted to make that clear. So she's been criticized in recent weeks for appearing in a Tiffany's ad with a diamond tainted by colonialism. She appeared in the ad with her husband, this guy named Jay-Z. She specifically wore the Tiffany yellow diamond, one of the largest yellow diamonds ever unearthed in South Africa.
It's 128 carats. Third person in the world ever. Oh.
She's the fourth person in the world to wear it. And she's the first Black woman to wear it, which Tiffany's was really flexing. But when you read more about this, it's like, okay, the diamond is from Africa and it's 2021. So I don't really know if that's like a huge win. Mm. But a big element of this campaign was, I think, to showcase Black wealth. Like, that image was part of what people were supposed to get from it. But they did so with a diamond, as we said, that is very problematic. I'll read from a piece by Washington Post writer Karen Atiyah. She pointed out that Tiffany's blood diamonds aren't a girl. The title was Tiffany's blood diamonds aren't a girl's best friend. And she explained the background of this diamond, that it was, quote, discovered in South Africa in 1878. But really, British forces had launched battles and overtaken these plays and discriminated against African tribes.
It was totally a discovered. It was in the glove compartment. I was driving home. It popped up on the side of the highway.
Right. And people were annoyed about it. They were like, why is Beyonce wearing this symbol of colonialism? It was complicated by the fact that, you know, she recently came out with Black is King, did Lion King. There's been more from her, like, really celebrations of African culture and the diaspora. Her mom defended her.
Tina did not like this.
She said, quote, how many of you socially conscious activists own diamonds? I thought so. Well, guess what Did you go and check to see where the diamond came from? Probably not. A source close to Beyonce apparently said that the superstar was disappointed and angry. That's a quote, that she was not made aware of the diamond's history. But girl, do you think she deserves the critique?
I was going to say she deserves the critique because she is the one that did it. But like on a personal level, like obviously Beyonce's not doing her own research on these things. And she has probably the best team in the world to do research like this. So somebody's getting fired probably.
Well, I feel like, first of all, to reply to Miss Tina, I feel like that is kind of my recent issues. Like, I'm in the Beehive. I've seen Beyonce live 3 times. I've paid so much money.
I hoped we would go here. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just like, I think too, the thing that was really jarring about it is that it's in front of a Basquiat painting, like an unearthed box, like an unseen Basquiat. And Basquiat was so anti-colonialism. Like, his pieces are so about Black liberation and all that stuff, like his most famous pieces. So to put that with the, you know, and then
yeah,
the response to Miss Tina, she's like, how many of you guys have diamonds? And it's like, yeah, a lot of people don't have diamonds.
Like, right, exactly. I know, everyone's like, I don't.
Like, I would say most people don't have diamonds.
I think her point is like other famous people who are like, or rich people to come about a diamond. She's like, you all fucking have diamonds as well.
Sure. But she was saying socially conscious people. So that's where I'm like, yeah, the average Twitter activist person does not have diamonds.
We also have to remember Miss Tina is a quintessential mom. Like her Instagram, like if you looked at her thing, you'd be like, wow, that's Beyonce's mom if you didn't know any better. So totally. I'm like, if you put your own mom in the same scenario.
She's like every mom's Instagram. It's just old pictures of Beyonce stanning her, gassing her up in the comments. Like, it was definitely not an informed reaction. I'm going to protect my daughter.
I get it. But I think for me, all of this is saying, like, is just like, as a fan and as somebody who's, as many people, been radicalized, you know, over COVID, like radicalized to more socialist leaning policies. Of course, we're all like tax the rich. It's been really difficult for me to also enjoy Beyonce's stuff recently, because it just seems so out of touch with what's really going on in this country. Or sometimes I feel like it's kind of capitalizing on these movements and then using it just to make money. And it's just also, I'm like, how much more money? It's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, how much more money do you need? Like, why are you taking like the, you know, these Black Lives Matter movements and like refurbishing it to like sell more clothes to us, or you know what I mean? That's just kind of my thing of like, I enjoy her stuff, but I'm also like, this is corny. like a lot of this is like, you don't need to do this.
In the past, we would have said it's beneath her. I wonder it's because if she doesn't want to make music anymore,
maybe.
So she just, not that that excuses it, but I feel like in the past we've always given her the benefit of the doubt with stuff like this, because she generally like is on the level and she shows us all the time that she knows what's up. But she's been a little bit less accessible to us, or even she never has been. Like, she's always constructed what she wanted us to see, but before she did that in ways that were somehow a little bit more transparent and a little bit more relatable. But now it's like, I don't know, and I'm not entitled to know what's going on with Beyonce, but I'm like, I feel like I don't know what's up with Beyonce. So I don't know if she actually cared about this. Like, I don't trust her.
I feel like that's also like the magic of what Beyonce is that like, we don't know who she is, like, aside from when she was 22 and she like left Destiny's Child and stopped doing interviews and stuff, like, mm-hmm. I think it's a weird, like, she doesn't do any interviews, she doesn't talk about anything.
Yeah. Now so we like, only see her when she's like selling us something, I guess. That's
exactly
the thing.
I think for me, well, it's also just like this past election, like, she wasn't really doing anything. And like the Beto O'Rourke stuff, she didn't really do anything. Like, until 2 months before, or like a week before.
I think it was
registration. Like a week before registration closed. Like that's when she started saying stuff. And like this 2020 election, somebody asked Jay-Z about Trump and like if he's voting, and he's just like shut the interview down right there. And it's just like which is fine, and that is an allure to some extent, but at another extent, it's like we. Like the celebrity, the image of the celebrity has changed. And yeah. We as a society, like in COVID-19, it's the same thing of Kanye, like complaining about, oh, I'm not in the Forbes billion things. And it's like, people don't have money to eat because of COVID. You know, people are dying. Like,
well, it's like no when Cardi B like posted that ugly ass purse that was like $100,000, and she's like, "I want it. Should I get it?" And I'm like, "Oh, why did you do that? That's gonna go so bad for you."
Yeah,
and
it's
true. I think two things can be true because like their argument is like, "Well, when white stars do this, no one says anything and no one complains," but it's also just like, "Yeah, but it is this like out of touch thing of like, yeah, we only see you when you want to sell something." We only hear about your political beliefs if you flip it and make it your own, you know what I mean? And like integrate it into your art in a way to sell more stuff to us. And yeah, like the last, I was just talking about this with someone the other day of like I've seen her three times, On the Run 1, On the Run 2, and Formation.
I was on the Run 2 too.
But On the Run 2, I was all recycled.
Was that the one 2 summers ago?
Yeah,
like or maybe 2018. Yeah, that one we left and we were annoyed. We were like, yeah, we already saw all this.
It was all recycled for choreography and stuff. I was like, I would have paid to see Homecoming. Mm-hmm. Like even like if you're gonna like, because that's at least like a show, a band or whatever.
I would rather see Homecoming than On the Run 2.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
Why do you think that Rihanna is managing? Because I feel like Rihanna also, she doesn't really make music anymore. She has pivoted to be more of like a business owner. She's like practically a billionaire.
I think Rihanna's like a woman of the people.
Yeah.
Because even like the things of like DMing Real Housewives and drag stars and like the Amazon specials of her fashion shows, like she's so inclusive, like in the fashion shows, and all the people that work for her seem to just genuinely like really enjoy her and love her, and like I just don't think we have that insight into Beyonce. Mm-hmm. Whereas Rihanna, it's like, we want music, but we just love you because you're also like a person who DMs a drag queen, "You dirty bitch, I love you."
She's not as curated and calculated. She is calculated, obviously. She's calculated and she's made a lot of like great business moves, but she's also like, yeah, I'm going to go out on the town in New York, or I'm going to like wear this designer, or there's this girl on Instagram that I saw, you know, for like the Bitch Better Have My Money video. Yeah. There's a girl on it, which I guess Beyonce has done that too. But I guess it's just, we know a little bit more about Rihanna's personality. Mm-hmm. It's not so guarded and protected as Beyonce's. So it,
Beyonce's like, she's, I mean, I love her. I'll love her forever, but she's kind of weird. I mean, the way she lives her life, the way she shuts everything down. This is why like, we're analyzing her. She wants to be analyzed.
Totally. And I think that in I think the idea is if we see that, then something's ruined.
Yes.
Like it's the same reason like the Kardashians scour the internet when there's a photo of them that's not filtered. Because once people see that the Kardashians are also just kind of people, they lose the allure of being this like otherworldly thing.
Totally.
And I also, but I also feel like that is fading. Like people don't want that. Like some people do want that, but like that is the thing that's getting out of touch. It's like, no, actually people actually do want to see the behind the scenes and people actually want to know what you think. I mean, that's why the Homecoming documentary was so good, because it was like, how do you put up, like, how do you come up with something like this? How, what are the rehearsals like? But then it's like, it's not just like a, and I think for me, this is the difference with Beyonce and Rihanna. Like, Homecoming, you know, it's everything is like back to a movement and like trying to make herself the centerpiece of like in celebration of blackness and stuff. And Rihanna's like, I'm just gonna do this cool show. I'm gonna make sexy panties. I'm gonna do makeup. And it's not about like, I'm gonna change the world or anything. And I think with Beyonce trying to put like that little activist spin on it, it kind of pigeonholed her, because then it's like, well, what is it? Do you want to sell stuff or you want to make a difference? And if you want to sell stuff, then
you know, can't be what's posing
diamonds in front of Basquiat. Are you out of your mind?
Remember when U2 just like put their new album in everybody's downloads even though no one wanted it?
Yeah.
Like,
well, not me, because I've had an Android forever.
Oh my god,
I remember, Chris. I stand in solidarity.
But like Beyonce could do that, you know. It's like there's,
I was just going to be like, I love your joke in your stand up where you're like, I understand discrimination. I'm an Android user.
Yeah.
I loved that.
I have so many tweets against Android users in my drafts because I know Millie will fucking roast me.
I'll roast you. And you know what? The Android hive is like me and the Brazilian teens.
I had one that was like, you know that the bitch with the green text is hilarious because there's no other reason that she would still be welcome in the group chat.
Wow, subtweet me, and also thank you. I love that you love my stand-up. I will say though, I will say that joke kills every time where I talk about, like, kills every time. I did it in London. No one laughed because everyone has a fucking Android in London. And I did another joke about, like, the two jokes, really, that the Android one. Yeah, because everyone's like, well, you know what it is? There's no green text because everyone uses WhatsApp. And WhatsApp, it doesn't matter. You know, everyone uses WhatsApp to text each other. So it doesn't matter what kind of phone you have. And then another thing was, I did a joke about how I got fired and then had 1 month left on my insurance. So I did, like, I fucking maxed out the dental. I went, like, got therapy, pap smear, all in one day.
That doesn't work in London?
No, they're like, you lose your insurance because you lost.
No, if you talk about that, if you talk about it in the UK, they're like generally, like insurance. Horrified.
That is so funny.
My friend lives in Scotland with her husband, and I was like talking about how I had a root canal and it was so bad. And he was like, why didn't you just go? And I was like, I had to wait until I got paid so I could go to like the. And he's like, that's so fucking crazy.
Oh my god, I love how our Beyonce conversation turned to the problems with the let's bring it back, since we do all love Beyonce.
We do all
it is
love
her
Beyonce.
40th birthday on Saturday, September 4th. We're all going to need some uplifting content for the next couple weeks. Do you guys have a favorite Beyonce song or performance you'd like to share?
Ooh, this is tough.
Yeah, that's my favorite. It really depends on mood, what's happening. If I'm walking, End of Time will get you where you need to be on time.
I feel like, I mean, song, I love That's Why You're Beautiful. I love her, like, B-Day album, like, Get Me Bodied, Extended, I love that. I love that, but I do say, like, every time I go see her, live, I do cry. Like, it's just eliciting emotion and stuff.
Oh,
and On the Run 1 was so, like, blew my mind so much. And then at the end, her and Jay-Z sung Forever Young. And then they put home videos of Blue and, like, with her birthday and all that stuff. And they're just singing, like, holding each other, singing Forever Young. And I was just crying. And I was
you can
like,
still watch that on HBO. That's a great moment. The specials are incredible. Okay, so I'll do mine. Mine are these are live performances. I mainly watch Beyonce. Mine are live at Roseland, the whole ass thing.
Oh my God, so good when she covers Your Love Is on Fire.
Oh my God. Or that's at Glastonbury. But in both of, that's my second favorite, is when she does Sex on Fire at Glastonbury. In both of these, she just, in the Glastonbury one, she looks like the most beautiful woman I have ever seen do anything. So play those to get yourself through.
Also, her Grammy performance of If I Were a Boy from like 2007, I think, and it's older, and she does If I Were a Boy, and then goes into You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette. Yes. And then goes into like doing like a Tina Turner like stage dance on her knee. It's so iconic, and there's like hundreds of men dressed as robot soldiers.
Yeah.
It's that one's so good.
What was I gonna say? Also, what's the name? You Can Move Mountains. What's the one on Love Drought? That song?
Is that the one about Blue?
No. So, there's a song on Lemonade that's called Love Drought. And when you're listening to it, you're like, oh, it's about Jay-Z and like her, whatever. But the rap genius.
Oh, right.
Like, yeah. The woman that wrote the song was just like, yeah, it's my relationship with the music industry. Cool. Like, so it has like two different meanings, because it's just like, Beyonce, you think she's singing about her and like, why doesn't Jay-Z take her, you know, or why doesn't this man take me seriously enough? But when the woman wrote it, she's like, it's like a song where I'm like, am I not doing enough to make it in this industry? Like, am I not thirsty enough? Am I not like, I want you to see that we can change the world together. As an artist, I know. As an artist, I was like, I resonate with that song so much, you know? So that's another like Beyonce song that I'm like,
oh. I love that shit. Like, what Sarah Bareilles, that love song by Sarah Bareilles, that's the same story, that it was like her label was mad that she didn't have more love songs, so she wrote it as like a fuck you to them, and then it became the song that like made her famous.
Oh, that's great.
Gorgeous. We love
the
that.
Lyrics, I'm like, the lyrics don't even make sense about a person. And she's like, I'm not gonna write you a love song because you're asking for it, is literally the chorus of the song.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you probably shouldn't hang around with someone who's asking for love songs. But that was our show today. Thank you all so much. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Millie Tamara.
And I'm Chris Burns.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye.
The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.